Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Welcome to 2021. It's really nice to hear that intro after a few weeks off. It's been a while, and here I am back behind the mic here for another episode of Let's Talk About, the first of the year 2021. I'm Jason, and here we are for another year of this show. Some great topics, some great stories, and some great discussions to be had. I'm currently sitting here. I'm recording this Sunday, January 3rd. This episode will be live 2 days from now. And I wanted to hop in. Obviously, I'm Monday tomorrow, so I'm going to be working for most of the day. And in the evenings, I'm a little bit more busy than I used to be, with other projects wrapping up. The news that I had teased in my last episode became a little bit more real. I'm not gonna talk too much about it because I want the mystery to remain a little bit. But I am writing a book, or I did write a book. First draft was finished in 2017, and I've been working on it since. Kind of left it on the shelf for a while, but was contacted early in 2020 by a publisher who was interested. And after some discussion and COVID, we are moving forward with developing the manuscript into a published novel, which should be, to be perfectly frank, people don't really often understand how much work goes into actually publishing a book. So it's still a year out. Like, I'm still working, I'm still revising, I'm changing things, and I was actually just doing some writing today. I've been writing every single day, basically since we had the verbal agreement in place. And yeah, so I'm taking some time, and these episodes are probably going to be recorded on weekends more often than not now, because I work 8:30 to 4:30 or 8 to 4 or whatever I want during the day, and in the evening, I have to spend a couple hours, not have to, because I very much enjoy it, but I spend a couple hours at least working and writing. So about 10 hours of my day is taken up by work and also with major project. So I wanted to start this year off with something a little bit different. This isn't going to be crazy different, but I want to talk today about something that impacts me, weirdly enough. This is going to be great. Being a straight white man, having something that impacts me is different. Most of the things I talk about on this show don't really impact me all that much because of the place I occupy in Western society. But this is something that does, and it's something that I have to consider a lot during the holidays, because of the bounds of what it is and what it means. So on this episode, I want to talk about a little-known neurological condition known as misophonia, or misophonia, however you want to pronounce it, M-I-S-O-P-H-O-N-I-A. And that translates roughly to a hatred of sound. It is basically just cribbing the definition here briefly from Wikipedia, a condition in which certain sounds trigger emotional or physiological responses others may deem unreasonable. Reactions to trigger sounds range from anger and annoyance to activating a fight or flight response. So a little bit of background. I didn't know about this for a very long time, and this is something common for people who live with misophonia, is we don't, it's not something, it's relatively new. It was first proposed in 2000, and as of 2016, there was still no research on it, really, no substantive research on it. So there's a lot we don't know. We just know people's experiences, and we know that this thing exists, and it's fairly prevalent. But that's the problem. It's people like me, we live with this condition, whatever you want to call it, not really understanding it. We think we're bad people, and we're unreasonable because of what we go through. We feel like we're being obtrusive, being wrong, because we can't control ourselves. So kind of from an insider perspective, what misophonia is basically hatred of sound. Not all sound. I mean, I deal with overstimulation, and hyperfocus, things like that, just every day. But that doesn't cause me the issues that this does. You know, I have problems with light sensitivity and auditory sensitivity. So I have trouble. Like, I wear blue light glasses, and then there's a kind of a known thing in my family where when we're taking family photos outside, you have to make sure that we're not in direct sunlight, or I can see the direct sunlight, because I won't be able to keep my eyes open, because I just physically cannot. I can't keep my eyes open. I can't see. And, you know, misophonia was just part of that. It was part of this just like stimulation that I thought I just was just overstimulated and overreacting to a lot of things. But a few years ago, I happened upon, it was actually an Instagram post of all things, and I realized, oh, that fits my experience. And I did some research, and I was like, yeah, this is me. This is exactly it. So from an insider perspective, it's not every sound that irritates me. Irritate is even just the wrong word to give it, because it goes beyond irritation. You know, I sit and I listen to music, I listen to people talk, and I can listen to repetitive sounds. It's specific. Like with lots of neurological conditions, it's specified. There are certain triggers, and the most common is the sounds of chewing and swallowing, which is what I have to deal with. So basically from my childhood on, I'd always been irritated, and I'd felt physically uncomfortable. You know, the experience of a misophonic trigger, or a misophonic event, the proper terms of misophonic response, is the trigger sound is occurring, and you feel in your body, and your brain registers that this sound is happening, and you know, your heart rate starts going up. You feel uncomfortable in your own skin. You feel the urge to get up and run away and get away from that sound with whatever, you know, to do whatever it takes to get away from that sound or stop that sound. And there were many times where I would just yell at people to stop eating with their mouth open or stop eating so loudly. And I realized that it's impossible to do that. And it's, you know, those sounds are going to happen even if people are trying their hardest not to. It's just, it's an uncontrollable fact that as much as I want to, and I've tried desperately, you know, I've tried desperately to not have these misophonic responses, but that's just neurological. It's baked in. It's the miswiring in my brain that causes this to happen. You know, I'll be sitting there and I'll hear the sound and I'll feel like I'm about to, I'm feeling anxious and I'm feeling stressed and I'm feeling kind of fidgety and I need to just get away. I need to run away. I often walk around, especially in the morning when it's insanely quiet in my house. Really anywhere, even out at the lake or when I'm with my partner or, you know, anywhere. In the morning in the office, I walk around with headphones in, listening to music or a podcast because I need something to distract myself because I know people are going to do it. No, people need to eat. They need to drink. And that's my coping mechanism. Also, I leave the room. Quite often, my family will be eating, and I'll just get up, and I'll walk into my room, shut the door, and I'll sit there until I know that they're probably done, and then I'll go back in. It's not all the time, because you find ways to work around it. You know, for me, one of the big things, and I had, I have an ex-partner, and they, person's non-binary, and they, their father was a very loud eater. And I was okay. You know, I could sit there and eat with the family and it was fine. Because their mother would play music while we were eating. And there was always music playing, and I could focus on the music, and that's what could get me through. You find ways to distract yourself. When my family's eating, and you know, our dining room is right close to, is part of our, it's just an extension of our living room, and you can see the TV, and we'll often have the news playing, or during family dinners, my brother will come over, and he'll throw something on Netflix. And to have that sound there, and the sound of people talking, is able to kind of smooth over the edges. I still struggle with that feeling of discomfort. But it's dampened a little bit by having noises to distract myself, or having noises that are non-repetitive that kind of smooth over that edge. When I'm playing video games with my friends, if somebody's eating on the mic, I'll take my headset off. And I'll wait until they're done. Or I'll just kind of grin and bear it and just try and focus on what we're doing. So it's hard to talk about. Not because it's particularly, you know, distressing. I mean, it's distressing. It's uncomfortable and it sucks and it disrupts my life. But it's still new, right? Not a lot of people know misophonia exists. Nobody knows exactly how it operates. We have theories and we have preliminary research to go into that. But we don't know a lot about it, and it doesn't have the cultural appeal or the cultural knowledge base that other neurological disorders have. You know, it's, people understand more that I have light sensitivity, because I can tell them, like, yeah, I've had concussions before. I've had, you know, I've had repetitive brain injury, and that causes, you know, it makes it hard to look at lights. And it's hard to be in lighted environments sometimes, and it makes me headache prone. But this is different. And the amount that we don't know is kind of distressing. One of the major issues is that with misophonia, there is not a lot of comorbidity research and demographic research. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I considered doing a PhD, and it's an idea that I've passed around for a while, was to do research, to basically do my dissertation on a widespread misophonia study, looking at the cultural implications and the experiences, the social cultural experience and sociocultural determinations of misophonia. Because as many people might know, certain cultures have different norms around eating. And eating, the sounds associated with eating, like loud breathing, chewing, swallowing, slurping, are very, very common misophonic responses. So I wanted to know what, if there is something, if there's a difference between cultures. Are there cultures where misophonia does not exist as much? And if so, is there something culturally going on there in cultures where loud eating is a sign of respect or proper manners? Are there going to be higher incidences of misophonia compared to cultures like most Western cultures where it is a sign of disrespect and of ill manner? Something that is also interesting, and something that we talked about. So 80% of sounds are related to the mouth. So eating, slurping, chewing, popping gum, whispering, whistling. Whispering is an issue for me, but for a completely unrelated reason. I don't feel discomfort at that. I'm just more annoyed. There's also a visual trigger. So a misophonic response can occur in the absence of actual sound, which is a strange phenomena, is that you can associate, misophonia can be associated with certain contexts in people. So there are people, like, I could pretty much guarantee you, I can sit, because I've done it, I can sit next to my girlfriend and we can eat dinner together. No music, no television, no nothing to distract us, and I'm fine. But I'm eating with my family and suddenly it's unbearable and I can't sit there anymore. Even the sound of the microwave, because of, you know, the sound of the microwave makes me uncomfortable, and I have to, you know, when I go and microwave something, I'll start the microwave, go to a different room, and just sit quietly by myself until I can hear the beep that it's done. But you could have a misophonic response when you can't see, but you can't hear, but you can see the person eating. And a visual trigger gets conditioned alongside an auditory one, and that causes a lot of problems, and it causes a lot of responses. So one of the things that needs to be considered when you're thinking about neurological conditions, mental disorders, really any type of condition, you need to think about what the actual impact is, what you can actually see. So the response typically, typically mild, anxiety, discomfort, disgust, but it can escalate pretty far. So the general response is you feel anxious, uncomfortable, you feel the urge to flee, you feel disgusted, but in severe cases, especially when you are sitting there, is rage, anger, hatred, panic, fear, and emotional distress. You can actually have an emotional breakdown. I've had emotional breakdowns because of it. And it's not as simple, like, you know, people will often say, you know, just sit there and kind of get through it. And I'll tell myself, just sit there, get through it, do whatever you can to get through it. The problem is, you know, that discomfort, that urge to flee, it doesn't go away. It sits there and it festers and it grows. And it's kind of like you've got this valve that you're keeping shut. And by sitting there and listening to the sounds, you're not letting the pressure off. And the pressure just builds and builds and builds and builds until you explode. You'll have a breakdown. You'll start yelling. You'll just storm out of the room. Anything. It eats away at you until the point that you can't handle it anymore and you just explode. And, you know, it sucks for people like me because eating is a social thing. All of our holidays are built around eating and being with people and socially eating. And for many of us, that's the biggest issue we have, is we can't physically be around people when that's happening because it makes us so uncomfortable. That's why I eat alone most times. And why I eat with headphones in. It makes you uncomfortable and it makes you irritable and it changes the dynamics of an interaction. Like, you'll sit there and you'll be anxious and start to feel yourself bubbling up, and it makes you hard to be around. And it really just sucks so bad. Like, this is from WebMD. The disorder can put a cramp in your social life. Those with misophonia have been known to develop anticipatory anxiety when going into situations where trigger sounds may be present. You might avoid restaurants or eat separately from your spouse, family, or roommates. Big check there. Over time, you may also respond to visual triggers too. Seeing something that you know may create the offending sound may elicit a response. That is 100% true. Man, I'm getting real on this episode, I guess. It's difficult and it's real and I hate it. I hate it every day. I find myself getting mad at myself because I can't just deal with it. But I know that if I just try and sit there and deal with it, it's going to make the problem worse. Honestly. So what causes it? We don't know. quite simply. So the theory is it's caused by a dysfunction of the central auditory system in the brain. So it's not an issue with you actually hearing sounds or picking up on sounds, like a different frequency or just auditory sensitivity. It's something deeper. It's something in the actual process, the way your brain processes auditory information. It seems to be, so this study found the anterior insular cortex, which plays a role in emotions like anger and integrating outside input, such as sound, input of organs such as the heart and lungs, causes more activity in other parts of the brain in response to triggers, particularly in parts responsible for long-term memories, fear, and other emotions. So the same parts of your brain that register, that process long-term memory and fear and emotional regulation are what are tapped here. So there is a dimension that likely is tied to memory and your past. Also, parts of your brain that dictate the fight or flight response. One of the ongoing theories is that misophonia has roots in kind of the fight or flight response, the being able to pick up on certain sounds that are dangerous, that are associated with danger. If you think of loud chewing and slurping, okay, what sound could that be associated with? Well, it's the same kind of sounds you would hear if there was a large predator chewing on a deer close by, or, you know, danger from your own life, bad memories, traumatic memories that have been associated with these sounds. And what that's kind of the theory that's been propagated is that it has to do with the way our brains process it, the way our brain processes the information, not the information itself or how the information is transmitted to us. Our brains, for some reason, are wired to pick out these sounds and file them in terms of, you know, audio, auditory information is coming in, your brain's processing it, and it's filing these sounds as dangerous. So your brain files that sound as dangerous, and then your body reacts by making you anxious and uncomfortable because it wants you to get away from that sound because it's a dangerous sound, when it's really not. And it's difficult to explain how stupid that is and how unfair that is. But it's real, and I have to deal with it every day. In terms of management, no evidence-based treatments for the condition. No studies have been proposed. Small studies use the sound that the use of sound therapy, similar to tinnitus retraining therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy, and particularly exposure therapy, help people become less aware. But none of these have been significantly studied. prevalence is not known. Demographics aren't really known. We just know that misophonia usually begins when you're around 9 and 13, which is around when it happened for me, and that it's more common in women than men. So I, this is something that I wanted to talk about. It's something that I deal with, and it's something that's been on my mind the last few weeks because it's been the holidays, because I've been around my family, and because we've spent so much time together, I can't make the excuse to not eat with my family anymore. Because I live with them and because it's the holidays. And it's been on my mind. So I felt that first episode back, let's start off with something a little closer to home. And I think that's where I'm going to call it today for this episode, starting with something a little bit more personal, something a little different, something that I haven't really talked about, I don't think, on this show, really. Not a lot of people I talk to about it because I'm just like, eh. It's a very typical male response. Oh, this thing that impacts my everyday life and changes the way that I behave and makes me feel incredibly uncomfortable and anxious. It's not a big deal. I can live with it. but yeah, that's something I wanted to talk about. It's been an episode that I've been meaning to have, a little frank discussion. Because I want to raise awareness of misophonia and I want people to take it seriously. So yeah, that's it for the first episode of 2021. Let's talk about, I've been Jason, you've been the audience, back to regularly scheduled episodes, 11 to 11:30 every Tuesday on 101.5 UMFM, still super far away from being able to actually be in studio. And now with work, I'm never going to be able to be in studio again, I guess. So thank you very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, you've got some great music and great shows coming up for the rest of the day. So stay tuned for that. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very, very much for your download. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.